Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of September, recording at 9:34 p.m., and this is British Summer Time still. Now, this being Friday, this is a big picture outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets, well, they were mostly under pressure, although we had some bounces today, not least in in Europe, and of course we had the firmer tone on Wall Street yesterday. The big news item dominating sentiment on Wall Street at any rate, and casting a shadow over other markets, was the Lehman Brothers story, as you'll be well aware. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds encountered some sharp profit-taking in here today. And the big story, though, of the week has been the dollar's continued strength up until today, when we have seen a number of sharp downward dynamics by the U.S. dollar. And another big feature of the week has been the seemingly terminal decline of precious metals, and they, of course, bounced today. Grains were strong. Most agricultural commodities were up. I think wheat was one of the few exceptions. Okay, so what's going on here overall? And I'm sorry, I've got a very scratchy voice, a little bit of a bug, but I'll persevere and hope it's not too hard on the ear, your ear. Now first, stock markets can only take so much doom and gloom and fear. And I sense a steadier tone beginning to appear. Yes, we still have all the downtrends. Yes, we still have the ongoing credit crisis and all the other factors. We've had massive amounts of global deleveraging. No one can say that that's completely over, but as I've said before, that things have been improving. Generally, the big move down on the price of crude oil, which is hovering just above $100, actually got down to $99.99 at one stage today, so at least it's fulfilled my forecast that we would see it go under $100. And we've had that very strong rally in the dollar. We've had the long-dated government bond yields coming down. We've had the Fed, I believe, actually gaining the upper hand in terms of and the Treasury, U.S. Treasury, in terms of dealing with their homemade crisis. Yes, the house prices are going to be down for a long time. Global growth is slow. Consumer demand is slower and so on. But I think that more things, those are known, and those have been around for quite some time. And what is perhaps less emphasized is how many of the previous big fears are beginning to melt away overall. And the biggest one of all is, I think, central banks gradually, incrementally coming to the conclusion that inflationary pressures are being contained and that they will, if not immediately, soon be able to switch to easier monetary policies. I've been mentioning this on an almost daily basis. And at the risk of being flippant, oh, what the hell, it's Friday. We have a situation where people may be scrambling around and looking for a new crisis. And if that's the case, they'll worry about global warming or something that's not directly part of the current economic malaise. And or, you know, they'll talk about SARS and bird flu and that sort of thing. Usually when you have a fairly healthy market background, we get into the more bizarre worries. It's a little too soon for that, but the point is, as I say, that central banks will be shifting have already just begun to do this. I'm talking about central banks other than the Fed, of course, because the Fed has been on a much more lax policy here for some time than the ECB and the Bank of China and most of the other banks around the world. Now, the paradox remains that what would cause the central banks to move very, very quickly, and that would be another big sell-off in global stock markets. And I think that that will only occur if central banks dither, and in other words, decide not to shift towards promoting GDP growth rather than fighting inflation. That's a risk. That's an ongoing risk. But my best guess, and this, more importantly, I noticed that this is also John Lipsky of the IMF's guess. I posted his speech today, is that we're going to see the economic trough for most countries within the next 6 months. And you might think, oh my God, well then we have more time in purgatory as far as stock markets are concerned. But as John Templeton reminded us, or really as Ian Little and Bruce Albrecht in their GTI report reminded us with the John Templeton quote, is that bear markets are temporary and that stock markets tend to bottom out 1 to 12 months before the economy troughs, before the bottom of the recession, in other words. Now, I don't think we'll get any kind of 12-month lead because of the anti-inflation policies that we see in so many countries. But we will get them shifting away from that. And valuations are much improved, even after we allow for some additional slowing. So I think this is not a bad environment in here overall for top quality issues. And I think Fuller Money Themes, whether it's companies like BHP and Rio, the top miners, were one of the last groups to get hit. And I noticed that I received an email today saying that Citigroup and JP Morgan were recommending the top miners now. And I think they're right. And my view all along has been that one buys those when they've been battered. And if you're going to sell, consider doing it when they're accelerating on the upside. Rather dramatically. It's a view I've held and often mentioned over the years. I also think China is just getting ridiculously oversold, and I think we'll see a steadier fourth quarter in here. As I sense a firmer tone. It's always a little bit risky saying that. And I've certainly had my worries and concerns, and waking up in the middle of the night, and all those things, and the stomach churning stuff. It's been a difficult time. It's been a very worrying, stressful time. But as I've often said before, we tend to be our own worst contrary indicators. And usually, when I'm feeling that way, we're near some sort of turning point. In markets. So I don't expect explosive activity on the upside, but I think the overall consensus view is a bit too bearish. And I think that sentiment will improve erratically as we go forward. And I think that Fuller Money Themes are likely to do pretty well. Will the US do well? Well, I think it probably will, because the Fed, as I mentioned before, was the most proactive in terms of fighting economic problems. Mind you, it's had to deal with more economic problems than most other central banks. Now, but if I'm right in that the tone will be improving for global stock markets, and I'm talking now about the next 3 to 6 months, then I think we will see weaker trends developing for long-dated government bonds. And if I'm wrong on that or premature on that, then a resumption of the declining yields in the long-dated government bonds would indicate that those recession fears had regained the upper hand. Now, the US dollar, I've said, we've commented on this rally, and I really, on a number of occasions, and my own hunch once it developed was that this was part of a deal, getting the oil price down, getting the US dollar up that had been cooked up between the Bush administration and the Saudis. Donald Cox has put a slightly different interpretation on it, which some of you may have seen or read about. But whatever, it does seem that there was definitely some intervention taking place, both to cap the price of oil, which had been driven up by speculators and investors in the long-term tracker funds, and also to firm up the US dollar. And that was achieved really rather dramatically. And the dollar has seen one of the strongest and most persistent rallies that we can recall. Now, it's been looking overextended. I've been mentioning this all week and saying, not least yesterday, that we were getting close to one of those conjunction points where a number of markets turned, and that I felt that we would, if you looked at the inverse mirror image of the dollar's strength, you could see gold just melting away, getting down below the $750 level, becoming very, very overextended, and platinum and palladium and silver being even more overextended on the downside, and that they would both, that precious metals and the dollar would turn simultaneously, with the dollar's rally losing upside momentum and the precious metals getting a good technical rebound, and a number of other commodities participating as well, because the commodities have seen more or suffered more deleveraging than any other sector very, very recently. So I think that began today, and we have seen some quite sharp downward dynamics by the US dollar, including the US dollar index, which, for instance, was above 80 yesterday, and it was actually above 80 briefly today, but is now trading at 78.9. Now, that's quite a big downside move, and it really does look to have checked this rally. And if I'm wrong or jumping the gun, and we've only seen some sort of penultimate high, and then I would look for the dollar to retrace most of its declines next week. But if we get downside follow through on Monday, then I think we'll see quite a sharp retreat from this overextended position. Give you some other examples here. The euro is, which had got down to 138 something yesterday, and it was at a low of 139.74 today, but closed at 142.22. So I think there are a lot of dollar longs, and with the dollar's interest rate differentials, people aren't going to hang around once they sense a loss of momentum, and we started to see that today. People always come up with some sort of story for a catalyst, and they They said, I noticed that there was talk. I saw an item on Bloomberg saying that people thought that maybe the Fed's next move on rates was not going to be to tighten but to cut. Well, I doubt that the Fed will be cutting rates, but even more importantly, they're certainly not going to raise rates anytime soon. And my own feeling was that I said once the dollar got up to that 80 level on the US dollar index, you could see a lot of overhead resistance versus a round number psychological level, just as the dollar index bottomed down at the 70 level, and we could expect some resistance near the 80 level. So I don't want to look too far ahead, even though this is the big picture long-term outlook audio in terms of these currencies, but I think we saw an important peak in the dollar yesterday and a big downward dynamic here today. And we've seen a good bounce in precious metals. Platinum's up $60 here today. And I think those rallies in precious metals will continue next week. And I think we'll see a number of commodities firmer next week, but the ones that will do best will probably be the ones that have been knocked down the most. Corn closed limit up today, and that's been getting a more gentle decline here recently, but you may remember me mentioning on previous earlier audios that there would be a USDA announcement today, and that would almost certainly indicate or almost certainly involve a reduction in forecast crop yields. I believe there'll be an even more important announcement when more will be known on the 15th of October. But that news did hit, and it pushed up corn and soybeans. And as say with corn closing limit up on the day, I wouldn't be surprised to see that rally carry further. So, in the short term, at any rate, I see a weaker dollar, and I see a stronger commodity prices, particularly in bombed out sectors such as precious metals. And I think that's pretty much it, and the voice, well, it almost held up. So I'm sure you're looking forward to a restful weekend, and I certainly am, and I'm also looking forward to an interesting week next week. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.